State Baptist Church, Seeker Sunday School class. Have you been reading the Bible every day, praying every day? If you need help with it, tell me. I'll get you one of these. Who knows where the memory verse is?
Isaiah 65.
Isaiah 65, what verse? 24 is correct. What's it say? And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Together. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass before. That's terrible. Isaiah 65:24. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Again. It's a little bit better again. One more time. Okay, that'll do.
Not one word if God has changed. Every promise still remains. Who He was, He is today. Not one word if God has changed. It's not just history that we're reading. It's still living, it's still breathing. And in its pages, we hear God's voice. Not one time has it ever come back void. Not one word of God has changed. Sin He won't forget. Not one word of God has changed. Every promise still remains. Who He was, He is today. Not one word of God has changed. Forgiveness in its message. There's a path to new direction, and for the brokenhearted, it restores, and the lost are found by its words. Not one word of God has changed. Promise still remains. Who He was.
word. Someone showed me a post yesterday that said these different versions, they don't change the deity of Christ in the Bible. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, that's absolutely right. They don't change it in the Bible.
Right.
And the way they worded the question, the way they worded it, I'm so glad they acknowledge that there's such a thing as the Bible. And the way the question was worded, it was obvious those others are different. The man-made alphabet books are different from the Bible. Now, they change the man-made alphabet books, they change the deity. They take away from Christ. But none exalts him higher than the Bible. The Bible. The Bible. Brother Bob, would you pray for us, please? Wasn't through being good, through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. Do you know Him this morning? And of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, we've been looking at these promises. We've found different categories and been looking up some of these promises. If you've been here, you know how it rolls. There's at least 10 promises in exceeding great and precious promises in the Word of God for peace. The one we looked up here is Psalm 119. Wait, I'm sorry. I'm on the wrong page. There's at least 7 promises for seekers. Deuteronomy 4:29. By the way, this is a Seeker's Sunday School class. There's at least 7 precious, exceeding great promises for seekers. Deuteronomy 4:29. This is just one of them. I hope you came this morning seeking. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, the big Lord, the capital Lord, thy God, thou shalt find Him. That's a pretty good promise right there.
Yeah,
pretty simple. Yeah, even I can understand that. Let me ask you, are you reading the Bible every day? That's seeking. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him. If thou seek Him with all thy heart, and with all thy soul. That's if Brother Rick will do that, then Second Chronicles, it's a famous verse. You probably have it memorized. 7:14. It says, if my people, any of His people in here, Yeah, which are called by my name. Now, I had that explained real simple, eloquently by David Gibbs one time. That's not if I tell you I'm a Christian, I'm saved. If you say I'm saved, if I say you're saved, is what it says. If my people, which are called by my name, someone else says you're a Christian. Is there someone else that said, I tell you what, if anybody's saved, it's Uncle Bill Walker. Is there someone else that calls you a Bible believer? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. A little bit different when you're looking at them eyeball to eyeball. Eyeball to eyeball. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Looking face to face. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We're talking about promises to the seekers. Proverbs 8:17. I'm sorry, exceeding great and precious promises, not regular old promises. And these help us to be more like God, to pick up on His nature. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's that same promise again. Let me ask you, is that early? Is that 5 a.m. or is that 5 years old? I think it's yes. I think it's much. Actually, 5 years old, a little bit late. Need to start more like this right here. 5 years old, I'll just go ahead and tell you, 5 years old is too late. Need to start a lot earlier than that. 5 a.m. is real good. That's good. There's at least 9 exceeding great and precious promises that come from God to us. Now, you can be real selfish and claim these promises because they're to you. And they're to us, to the tempted. To the tempted. Now, this is another one of Sister Kim's favorite verses. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Brother Blade memorized this verse on horseback. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear. What the Bible says. There's at least 12 exceeding great and precious promises that come from God to us, to you, to the upright. To the upright. Well, my first question was, who is that anyway? Who is it that's upright? Let's see if we can find out. Psalm 64:10. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord. You know, some people tell me they're saved, but they don't act real glad about it. But here it says that the righteous is glad about it, and it's in the Lord. They're not just glad about it at the party or at the ball game. It's in the Lord. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in Him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. Looks to me like the righteous are glad and the upright glory. If you're wondering who was upright, that's what it looks like. Psalm 97:11. These are exceeding great and precious promises to the upright. Light is sown for the righteous. You know, like you sow it in the garden, like you plant seeds. There's light for the righteous. And gladness is sown for the upright in heart. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. If you see someone today that's glad, they might be upright. They might be. It's been sown for them. It's there. It's available. Proverbs 14:11. The house of the wicked shall be overthrown, but the tabernacle of the upright shall flourish. Shall flourish. You know, got the electric windows, not the roll-up windows. There's at least 7 exceeding great and precious promises in the Word of God to widows and orphans. Deuteronomy 10:10. Deuteronomy 10:17-18. For the Lord your God, He is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He doth execute judgment of the fatherless and widow and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. The Lord's going to take care of him. These are promises to widows and orphans. Psalm 146. I'm sorry, they're exceeding great and precious promises. And you can't get them anywhere but from God. They come from God and they're to you. Especially now if you're an orphan or a widow. 146. Verse 9, the Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. Now, when welfare first started, it was called relief.
Right.
And here the Lord said He's going to take care of it.
Right.
The Lord preserveth the stranger. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked He turneth upside down. One more, Jeremiah 49:11. On the widows and orphans. Leave thy fatherless children. Go ahead. He said, I'll take care of them. You don't have to worry about them. I'll take care of them if you don't want to. Leave thy fatherless children. I will preserve them alive and let thy widows trust in me. In case you need a little bit of help this morning. And then there's at least 7 exceeding great and precious promises to workers. Camp people. About 1 Corinthians 15. Go ahead and claim this in advance. Verse 58, very familiar. You can probably quote it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, that's just 1 out of 7. I added up 405 exceeding great and precious promises from God to you in the Word of God. Just pick you one. Go ahead and pick you one.
Yes, amen. That's good.
It took us 3 weeks to look at them. But anyway, 2 Peter. Start on verse 5. Now, the first 4 verses in this chapter is about salvation. Now, these next few verses is going to be about sanctification. And then we end up maybe with the Scriptures. Starting in verse 5, it says, besides this, giving all diligence. Now, I checked out this word diligence. It's steady in application, constant in effort. We're not talking about firecrackers. I was reminded yesterday of a fellow when I first got saved. He came to that church and he would stand up and testify and tell how good God was. And then you wouldn't see him for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
Then he'd come back again and stand up and testify and tell how good God was. Well, God is good. But then he'd do it again. He would just come every few months, you know. And they always stand up and tell how good God is. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about steady in application and constant in effort.
Yeah.
Diligent is steady in application and constant in effort.
Yeah, think about
that. It says, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue and add to virtue knowledge. Now, I know it doesn't say add there, but that's the sense of it. I'm supposed to be giving you the sense of it. This is actually a math chapter. If we go back to verse 2, it says, grace and peace be multiplied. And now we're going to do a little bit of adding. And it's all because down in verse 9 it says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. That's subtraction right there. I got something took away from me.
Yes, amen.
Some things I missed out on, and I'm glad I missed out on some of them. Add to your faith virtue. Now I'm going to read it different. Don't change your Bible. We'll come back and read it right in a little bit. And add to virtue knowledge, and add to knowledge temperance, and add to temperance patience, and to patience, and add to patience godliness, and add to godliness brotherly kindness, and add to brotherly kindness charity. That's just the gist of it, or the sense of it. And this is, like I said, the first 4 verses is God's part. That's salvation. Now this 5 through 7, that's our part. And we're supposed to add. It doesn't save us, but we're talking about sanctification now. We're talking about we have something to do. We don't just roll over and play dead. We're talking about taking the high road.
Right.
The high road. Let me read it again, read it right. Besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Charity. So integrity's not enough up in verse 5. I need to be informed. They need to be informed. God places no premium on ignorance.
Right.
And not only to be taught in verse 6, but to be temperate. And that's self-control, by the way. That's not eating all the watermelon I want. That's not eating the whole thing. I could hold back there every once in a while. Or not eating all the ice cream I want. And not only possession, but patience. Patience there in verse 6. And not only patiently good, but patiently godly at the end of verse 6. And then not only holy, but helpful in verse 7. And then not only liberal in my giving, but also lovable. It's a picture of Christianity here in these verses. The believer here, let me read verse 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, we're not talking about going to heaven now. We're talking about fruit.
Right.
Talking about fruit. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. See, this fellow lost sight of his condition. And he lost sight of his conversion. He forgot he'd been converted. You know, that's one of my main problems is my memory. And some people even make fun of me. Because I know you don't believe that, but they do. Like the preacher. His initials are the preacher. Makes fun of my memory sometimes. So right here, we're seeing Brother Rick's problem, and it's been going around. It's an age-old problem. It's forgetfulness. Let's look at Deuteronomy 4:9. You know, sometimes we forget. Deuteronomy 4:9. I'm not the only one. I got a bad problem, but I'm not the only one. It says, only take heed to thyself. See, Brother Rick, if you'd sweep your own doorstep, the whole world, if everybody would, the whole world would be clean. I need to take care of mine. I need not to forget. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently. Oh, boy. Diligently. What was that? That was steady in application, constant in effort. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, lest they depart from thy heart in all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons.
Yeah,
it stems, this forgetfulness stems from prosperity. From having electric windows and not crank windows. Everybody ought to have crank windows, like this crowd over here. Deuteronomy 6:10. It shall be when the Lord... See, I forget where it came from. Sometimes I get to thinking about I paid for those electric windows. Sometimes I think I forget. It shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not. See, I didn't build the house I live in. And the house is full of all good things which thou fillest not. And the wells digged which thou diggest not. See, I just turn on the spigot. Vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and from the house of bondage. This forgetfulness, it stems from prosperity. Chapter 8. Deuteronomy 8, verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. And then chapter 32 in Deuteronomy. Jeshua. Now, I know that other was about Israel too, but surely there's something there Brother Rick could apply. See if you see anything similar between Jeshua and America right here. But Jeshua waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art growing thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him,
yeah,
and lightly esteemed the capital R-O-C-K of his salvation. They provoked him, the rock him, to jealousy with strange little g-gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to little g-gods whom they knew not, to N-E-W-G-O-D-S that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the big R rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful,
yeah,
and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Of how little is spoke of him, Job said. Judges 8, it's a repeated problem, this forgetfulness. See, Brother Rick repeats it. He doesn't just forget one time. Judges 8. Starting in 32. And Gideon, you remember Gideon? He was a judge. And a judge wasn't someone in Bible times that sat on a bench in a black robe. It's a military leader most of the time. Sometimes it wouldn't be. But here again, it's a military leader. And he just brought him through victory, through a great battle. And all the odds were against him. And Gideon, the son of Joash, died in his old age and was buried in the sepulcher of Joash's father in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, as soon as, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baalberith their god, little g-god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God who had delivered them. Have you been delivered out of the hands of all their enemies on every side? Neither showed they their kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. As soon as. And then, here's some promises. Now, these aren't really exceeding great and precious promises, but they're just as true to forgetters. To forgetters. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all nations that forget God. See, I'm not one to claim these.
Right.
Chapter 50, Psalm 50, verse 22. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. And then Psalm 78. Brother Rick doesn't want to continue to forget. And for sure I don't want to forget God.
Right.
Psalm 78. 10 and 11. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Oh, I don't want to do that. And then here's the last one on this, Jeremiah 3. The forgetting God is equal to perversion.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Jeremiah
3.
That's why you came this morning. You don't want to forget Him. That's one reason you came. Jeremiah 3:21. And a voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel. For they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. They forgot the Lord their God, they perverted their way. If you pervert your way, you forgot the Lord your God. For they have perverted their way and they have forgotten the Lord their God. If you don't believe it, just ask a pervert.
Right.
And they have perverted their way and they have forgotten the Lord their God. They forgot the Lord their God and they perverted their way. It's a King James Bible definition. I better move on, it looks like. 2 Peter. That is the bad news. Like always, God has an answer. Let's go back to 2 Peter now in chapter 1, verse 9. A little bit of review right there. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You know, sometimes I forget. As to my own shame, sometimes I forget I've been purged.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
Don't worry, the Lord's got it covered. Verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Oh boy. Steady in application, constant in effort. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Talk about the things back up in verse 5, 6, and 7. Yeah, I think. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Not a regular entrance, going to be an abundant entrance. If I don't forget, if I remember. Verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. That's one. The problem is I forgot. Here he says, remember of these things, though ye know them. See, I know them. You know them.
Right.
But sometimes we forget. Right. We forget. And be established in the present truth. Well, I'm glad we got it right here on our lap. It's present truth. It's true. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. That's two. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. This is St. Peter right here, and he's saying, look, real soon I'm going home, and I'm going to put it down. I'm going to write it down so you'll always have it and you'll never forget it. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, see, he's going to have these things always in remembrance. Here's another promise for preservation. Remembrance, that's three times. That's three times. He's trying to help me here. He's trying to help me. Well, remember what, Brother Rick? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go over to chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, is verse 1. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That's four. That ye may be mindful of the words. That's five. If I'm mindful of the words, guess what? I'm remembering them. If I'm remembering the words, guess what? I'm mindful of them. This is five times he told me how to correct that forgetfulness. I need to remember. What are you going? Let me ask you, are you reading the Bible every day? I need to be mindful of the words.
Yeah,
I need to be mindful of the words. That's what he said. He gave us the answer. He said, I'm going to write it down. God's going to preserve it. And you can be mindful of the words so you won't forget me. That's what he said. Numbers 15. He told us before. He's telling us again. Numbers 15, starting in verse 37. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speaking to the children of Israel, bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments. See, everything had a purpose in that priest's garment. It wasn't just for show. Throughout your generations, that they put upon the fringes of the borders a ribbon of blue. And it shall be unto you for a fringe that ye may look upon it and remember. What are they going to remember? All the commandments that you be mindful of the words. Remember all the commandments of the capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. And then not only that, and do them. And that ye seek not after your own heart. See, there's only two roads. There's only two paths. I can go my own way or this way. This is self. This is spirit. I'm supposed to remember the spirit part. That ye seek not after your own heart. The most wicked thing I can do is do what Brother Rick wants to do. Or what Rick wants to do. Not what Brother Rick, but what Rick wants to do. To go my own way. In your own eyes, after which ye used to go a-whoring, that ye may remember and do all my commandments and be holy unto your God. Yeah. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Yeah. Peter said, I need to be mindful. I need to be mindful of the words to remember and not forget. Nehemiah 4:14. And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Are we still going to be talking about down at the house, preacher?
Yes.
We'll be continued this morning, isn't it? We've been hearing it for a while now. Look what it says. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses.
Yeah.
We better be.
Yeah.
The enemy wants them.
Yeah, that is right.
We better be fighting for them. If I remember the Lord, I will. I need to remember the Lord. Psalm 63. Five and six. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. Ecclesiastes 12:1. You can probably quote it. I know Dennis can. Anyone want to? Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator. I'll mess it up too. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Is that 5 years old or 5 a.m.?
Yeah.
While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Jonah. In there somewhere. Jonah 2:5. The waters compass me about. You know, Abby's in the hospital. They don't know what's wrong. Even to the soul, the depths closed me round about, and the weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went down to the bottom. See, some's at the bottom this morning. Some of us. Went down to the bottom of the mountain. I'm going to go ahead and say that's a valley. Right there in the valley. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Looked like forever, didn't it, to Jonah? Yeah, sometimes it looks like forever. Never going to get daylight. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted, when I quit within me, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Upon the dry land. Isaiah 65:24, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down in Jesus' name. Amen.